Thank you for listening to Cat's Tea and Witchcraft. My name is Fauna, and I am your host. This podcast is for those who are Wiccan, witches, and everything in between. Don't forget to follow the podcast's Instagram page at Cat's Tea and Witchcraft, and you can send an email at catsteaandwitchcraftpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast. Enjoy the episode. Hello, witchy peeps. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 128, and today we are going over tarot. Like I've mentioned in the last episode at the end of season 5 and in the trailer, if you happen to hear it for season 6, is the starting topic for every episode is going to be on a different tarot card. Today's going to be a little bit different because I'm going to start the episode on the general overall topic of tarot, and then towards the end, I'm going to go over 2 different tarot cards. And the reason I'm going over 2 is to give you just kind of a little kickstart to the season on the topic, but also in the upcoming weeks, I have an interview planned, and when we have interviews going into the future, I'm not going to go over one of these intro topics just to save a little bit more time so the episodes don't get too long, because interviews tend to be longer than when it's just an episode with myself. And today is going to be the Fool and the Magician. So now I'm going to jump into a little bit about the history and background on tarot. I have spoken about tarot before. We've had tarot readers on the podcast. We're going to have another one on in a couple weeks, which is really exciting. And for those who are newer, might not have listened to those older episodes back from like season 1 and season 2, so this may help you on your learning journey. And for those who have been longtime listeners, this might be a little bit of a repeat for you. So overall, what is tarot? Tarot is a form of divination that has been around at least for the last few hundred years. Tarot, as it is known now, is a set system of cards that have various meanings. What many use tarot for is to help predict the past, present, or future, and to help analyze their life and help guide them into the future. It is said that modern tarot was developed in Italy from around the 13 to mid 1400s and was possibly originally used as a card game and then spread its way around Europe. And depending on what source and traditions that you may follow, you may see some discrepancies in the origin of tarot, the history, what groups it came from, and who it belongs to. There have been some arguments about that and if using tarot is a form of cultural appropriation. My opinion is that it is not a form of cultural appropriation unless you pretend to be something you are not. The last little bit I have on history for the tarot card is the symbolism that you see currently in modern tarot is based off of the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot cards, otherwise known as Waite-Smith cards, because those are the 3 people or groups of people that were associated with contributing to this new style of cards. For a really long time, Smith, also Pamela Coleman Smith, was not given as much credit in the creation of these cards, and she was the artist of the artwork for this new set, and along with the other creator, A.E. Waite. Both of them were members of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, and the publishing company, the Rider Company, is where that other name comes from, but for some reason they didn't think she was as important, so apparently the publishing company earned more of a title in the name of this deck. So you'll hear me say Smith over Rider more often than not. A standard set of tarot cards has 78 cards and is divided into 2 groups, the major and the minor arcana. There are 22 cards in the major and 56 in the minor. Each card has various images of people, ideas, items and celestial objects that have a range of meanings and symbolism. Just in case someone picked up on this, I was thinking before I was recording this, I mentioned at the end of the last episode that tarot has between 24 and 25 in the major arcana, which is not correct. It is the 22 cards. I don't know why my brain at the time said that it was like 24 or 25. Something, my brain went a little wonky, but it is 22 cards. And just in case you go backwards in episodes, you'll hear that difference. And bless you, I just heard one of the cats sneeze in the background, so you will probably be hearing her today. I had to get her an extremely noisy collar recently because she kept taking her old one off, and when she takes it off, we can't hear where she is. So if you hear jingling in the background, it is the cat walking around my office. Anywho, I am now going to go over the list of the cards that are in the major arcana. The Fool, the Magician, the High Priestess, the Empress, the Emperor, the Hierophant, the Lovers, the Chariot, Strength, the Hermit, Wheel of Fortune, Justice, the Hanged Man, Death, Temperance, the Devil, the Tower, the Star, the Moon, the Sun, Judgment, and the World. For the minor arcana cards, they are based on various titles and elements. There are four suits of the minor arcana, and that is coins or pentacles, swords or knives, wands or clubs, and cups or chalices. Depending on the deck you see, people might get a little more creative with what they are called, and sometimes they even change the name of the cards in the major arcana. I personally don't prefer those types of cards because it kind of throws me off a little bit, and I like to use a little bit more traditional symbolism with it, even if they are a different style. That is just my personal preference when it comes to the Smith-Waite or the Waite-Smith form of tarot cards that are the more popular ones. For the suits and the basic symbolism and meanings of them for the minor arcana are the following. The wand cards are about action, initiative, invention, and energy, and they help to guide you how to move through your life and advise when to take action and when to hold back. The cups represent your emotions, intuition, and relationships. These cards can guide you in love and help you grow through understanding and processing your highest and lowest feelings. The swords are all about challenges. They can tell you when conflict and heartache are looming and help you harness the strength of your own mind. And the pentacles are associated with your work and finances. These cards can answer questions about your long-term goals and your money, family, and health. Associated with these suits, there are also different numbers associated with them, kind of like a normal deck of cards or playing cards. For twos, they carry the message of balance and dichotomy. When a two arises in your tarot reading, you cannot move forward until equilibrium is reached. Threes are about communication and interactions. They indicate the influence that others have over your life, work, and emotions. The fours represent a break or rest period. In order to move forward, you have to stop now and contemplate where you've been and where you're going. Fives are a card of adversity. These cards indicate conflict, loss, and other negative experiences in your life that must be overcome. Six represents growth, overcoming challenges, leaving bad situations behind, and gaining a greater understanding of who you are right now. The seven cards teach you that you must have faith in yourself and the universe. There are many things happening to you, but confidence, determination, and truth will see you through. Eights are cards of work and change. These cards tell you that the only way to get where you want to be is to change what you've been doing. Nine represents fruition. Things are coming together, and you may or may not like what you see now, though. Tens are about final outcomes and the end of current cycles. They carry messages about the rewards or consequences you'll experience for the amount of work you've put in. The page card represents messages and beginnings. The pages indicate a new phase where you know what you want to do, but not how to do it. These cards tell you to gather all information you can before you take your next steps. The knights are about movement. You know where you're going, and the knights tell you it's time to set your wheels in motion. Queen cards are feminine messages of power, potential, and advice. These cards are often advice for you to seek the help of a wiser, more experienced person. King is a flex card of muscles and authority and power. These cards tell you that you have what it takes to succeed, but you must believe in everything that you are. One last little detail of symbolism that I want to go over in regards to the cards is the association with the elements to them. It is commonly said that coins is associated with earth because coins deals with financial things, and a lot of symbolism with financial has to deal with the earth element and stability. Chalices or cups is associated with water. In my tradition that I practice and what I teach you is that the athames generally represent fire and wands represent air, but there are other traditions that reverse the two. In tarot, though, it does follow that reversal. In tarot, the wands represent fire, and the swords, or what we use in my tradition, we use athames, but for other things, we can also use swords. But swords in tarot represent air. So you might get a little confused if you use the tradition that I do, where athames or swords are fire and wands are air in tarot. Wands are fire and swords are air. That's just a little detail you might want to keep on the top of your head when trying to memorize the meanings of the parts of the cards. Next, we are going to go over the idea on how tarot cards are used. There's a couple different ways you can do, and a lot of it is based on personal style and using your intuition. And you don't have to just do it one particular way. My preferred way is when I have the deck, after it's all shuffled, all the cards are going to be facing down in one stack. And I pull from the top and I will flip them, not upside down, like from bottom up. I will flip them from the left side and turn them to the right. And then I will place them down in the order that I would like them, depending on the spread that I'm using. Sometimes, if I am trying to read all the cards at the end and just really focus on placing them, if it is a larger spread, I will keep the cards face down. I will place it into position, but still take from the left side and flip it over to the right side. Another way that people pick their cards is they will take the deck, spread it out in front of them, and they will, one way or another, some people flip from bottom up or top down or left and right and right to left, depending on how you read it. And then they will put it on their spread. I know some people do that because they visualize different things that tell them which cards to pick. I've been told that people say they almost look like they're jumping out to them, not physically, but it's like almost like a vibration or a color or something that they see or feel lets them know which cards to pull. I don't experience that. It would be really cool if it did, but it doesn't. So I use the style where the cards are stacked on top of each other and I just pull from the top. It is generally advised before you start a reading, you know what spread you're doing and you have a question or set of questions in mind or a general overall topic, because if you pull more than one card, you can get different bits of information with multiple cards in a spread and each card may answer a different aspect. So that is why I would advise knowing what you want to know and what spread you are going to do. If you're doing just a one card pull every morning, that might be a little different, but generally those who do a one card spread still intuitively have a general question of how is my day going to go or is my meeting going to be really good? So maybe you might not realize it, but you are, and it's just being done a little more subconsciously. You can make your own spreads, though, if you're doing more than just a one-card pull. You can make up your own, or you can look for pre-existing ones on the internet or in books, or maybe ones that your friends have made and have suggested to you. I feel that experimenting with different ones, different positions, and flipping your cards different ways, and choosing if you like just to do the full stack style like I like to do, or the ones where people like to spread them out, experiment with how you do things. Maybe you might get better results one way or another, and maybe one day you might want to switch it up because you really feel like you should. You don't always know why, but use your intuition and just listen to it. Sometimes it might be confusing, but over time, the more you practice with listening to your intuition and growing it, the more likely it will become stronger. The last few things I'm going to go over today before I go over the first two cards of the Major Arcana is misconceptions and cautions when using or reading tarot. First, I'm going to go over a list of misconceptions that people spread or are a little confused about when they first start researching tarot or using it. The first misconception is that tarot is evil, that tarot will always be accurate, that tarot will bring evil spirits into your home or life, that you can only start tarot if you are gifted a set of cards, that you can't read for yourself, reading tarot makes you psychic, and that you have to memorize all the cards to do a reading, that you can't make a profit from reading tarot, or that reading tarot messes with fate or causes bad luck, that no one else can touch your cards, and that the cards are always based on literal meanings, and that you cannot read tarot because of it being associated with Romani culture. Those are very common misconceptions that people have. Tarot is not evil. It's just a set of cards. I don't know how a set of cards can be evil. Maybe if you are not cautious and don't use protection in your own life and there are already strange things going on, maybe you may have things people say, I've never had this happen, but some people are like, well, if you're not careful, any form of divination can have things tempt you by giving you false messages. I don't know how I feel about that fully. Just proceed with caution and use critical thinking when you are doing anything that may be influencing decisions for your life. Another one that I mentioned is that tarot will always be accurate, and that's not true. If you do a reading for yourself or you get a reading done and say you don't like the reading, you can do things to change what happens in the future. Because if you don't like what an outcome may be, you need to make those changes that would prevent that from happening. Or maybe you do get a good reading, but you get cocky and you don't continue to make good choices. That could change that possible good reading that you had to something that wasn't what was in the cards. So making good choices and analyzing your life in what can either help or change that is the important part of tarot, even if it doesn't actually predict the future. Tarot is great for analyzing your current actions and who might be currently involved in your life or what you or they may be doing. You can definitely also read tarot for yourself and also read tarot for others. And there are many people that have never had issues with having tarot a part of their business, or that is where they make their financial gains from. The only thing I would say when it comes to that is be an honest person. If you're reading for other people, be honest with yourself and don't try to trick yourself that the cards say something different because you just want to hear something. The cards will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And also when you are giving readings to other people, you should let them know that as well. And if you plan on getting paid for readings, make sure you know your local laws about it. Some cities, counties, states, and maybe even countries, depending on where you're from, still ban it. In my area and also neighboring states, there are counties that ban it, or counties and states that require you to get a license from the area that you live in, and it's not always cheap. In my county, it is a $500 fee and approval for my county if I wanted to get paid to read tarot. I don't, and I don't plan on it anytime soon, but if I wanted to legally read in my area, I would have to get that license and pay that fee yearly. And that's a little bit of a steep one if I don't plan on, or anyone else plans on it, doing it often. When it comes to the idea that nobody can touch your cards, that's kind of a more dependent thing on you. If someone touches a deck of cards, it's literally not going to ruin them. You don't have to burn them. You don't have to get a new deck. Just energetically cleanse them. There are accidents. If you have kids, they're going to get their hands on things. Or if your dog knocks it over. Or maybe you left your cards in an inconvenient place and in the way of a roommate, a parent, or your partner. They're going to move things out of the way and not always realize the significance of touching things like that to you. So if you want someone to not touch your cards, put it out of the way where they won't touch it, and or if it's someone that you live with and they respect you, tell them not to touch it or let you know that you need to move it if it is not already put away. There's also nothing wrong with just having a set that you use for yourself, and if you do readings for other people, having cards that you use for other people. People develop different relationship with their tools and their cards, so that is another one of those personal preference things, but not a requirement. The cautions now are what I'm going to go over when using tarot or doing a tarot reading. This is one I didn't realize, but I already mentioned it, and it's be honest with yourself when getting a reading or doing a reading for yourself. Don't keep asking the cards the same question and expect a different result if you want to hear just what you want and not what you need. Not all cards or artwork on cards will connect with everyone. If you want to read tarot professionally, I've already mentioned, check your local laws and regulations in regards about it. If you get a reading from someone else that you are not familiar with, take what they say with a grain of salt because there are still suspicious people out there who do tarot readings. You can't always trust someone just because they say they're spiritual, a witch, or a tarot reader. And I did mention this as well previously that reading tarot does not make you psychic. It's a tool that gives you insight. Being psychic and learning a skill are two different things. There are some people who say you can become psychic by building that skill, but just because you can do divination doesn't mean you are a psychic. They are still separate things, but they can be used together. And again, I already mentioned this one as well. The cards can be wrong, and maybe if they're not technically wrong, it means that you made choices that changed what those outcomes could have been. Okay, so I know a second ago I said I had two more sections. I technically have one more, and it's just additional tips about when you read tarot. And it starts with keeping a journal or note-taking when you do readings, or taking a picture of your reading and saving it on your phone if you don't necessarily have your notepad with you. If you do readings for other people, do not share the results with other people. Keep those private between you and them, because that is just a level of respect you should have for a person you're doing a reading for. If you don't like a person, don't do a reading for them and feel like you can gossip about it. That's just disrespectful and kind of a shitty thing to do. If you do readings or get readings, like I mentioned, take it with a grain of salt, but use your intuition and how you feel about it. If you need and would like to have more than one deck, totally do that. Because sometimes you feel like using one deck one day or using decks for different reasons. And you may be connected to different types of artwork and altered symbolism within those different decks. You also don't need to memorize your cards, which I personally don't have them all memorized. I kind of work a little bit off of books that I'm going to go over with you and different symbolism that I've become attuned with when looking at the cards. So I kind of do a combination of personal intuition, but also using books as sources to go over it. If you do want to do readings professionally, I would advise having these cards memorized. Otherwise, it will just look unprofessional if you're doing something professionally like that and you don't have it memorized. I don't know. I just personally wouldn't pay for someone to do something that I could already do myself by using the same exact book. It's different if you're doing readings with your friends or if you have family members that you do readings for. That's different. But if they're paying you, yeah, make sure you have a little bit more experience first. If you don't have access to a lot of books, I would recommend the website Biddy Tarot. I feel like it is a very good source and it has a pretty good reputation when it comes to the meanings of the different cards. So that is a good free source that many people can have access to. And my advice for a starter deck would be to get the traditional Waite-Smith or Smith-Waite deck, because I feel like the symbolism that they use is very clean, and it is very common that the meanings of the cards generally are taken from that deck. So I feel like even if you don't use it all the time, it is a good deck to learn from. Okay, so that's all I have for like the history and how to use cards and blah, blah, blah. Now we are going to go over the first two cards of the Major Arcana. Now onto the first card of the Fool. The first book I'm going to be referencing today is A Complete Guide to the Tarot by Eden Gray, and it starts on page 18, The Fool. Here we have a youth about to step off the edge of a precipice. He symbolizes the life power before it enters into manifestation. Therefore, he represents inexperience, which certainly can be foolish. He faces northwest, the direction of the unknown. The sun behind him is still rising, for the spiritual sun never reaches its zenith. If it did, it would descend and decrease in power. The wand over the youth's shoulder is a symbol of the will, and tied to it is a wallet that is thought to carry universal memory and instinct. The sign of the eagle on the wallet betokens virile strength, and it is also associated with the zodiac sign Scorpio. The youth also carries a white rose, indicating that he is still free from animal forms of desire. The little white dog at the young man's heels has many possible meanings. He has been evolved from the wolf, showing the lower form of life can be elevated and improved by human companionship. He also shows us that nature is glad to follow along in man's wake. The snowy mountains in several cards indicate the cold, abstract principles of mathematics which govern all earthly phenomenon. The Fool is about to pass into the cycle of life through which each soul must journey. Stages so graphically described in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Think of the youth as spirit facing unknown possibilities of self-expression as he enters the world, an ignorant babe. He stands on spiritual heights, about to step down into manifestation. Every man must journey forward and choose between good and evil. If he has no philosophy, he is the fool. For the divinatory meaning, the subject of the reading is a dreamer, a mystic. He has the desire to accomplish a great goal. He must be careful to make the right choice. If he thinks that when ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise, then he is indeed the fool. The next book I'm going to be referencing is 78 Degrees of Wisdom, and this starts on page 24 for The Fool. I'm only going to be reading a snippet off of it because this is actually a pretty decent sized book with a lot of information. So I'm going to give you just like a good synopsis of what this book offers. So starting on page 24 of 78 Degrees of Wisdom, A Book of Tarot by Rachel Pollack. Imagine yourself entering a strange landscape. A world of magicians and people hanging upside down, and of dancers in the bright air. You can enter through a leap from a height, through a dark cave, a labyrinth, or even by climbing down a rabbit hole, chasing a Victorian rabbit with a pocket watch. Whichever way you choose, you are a fool to do it. Why look into the deep world of the mind when you can stay safely in the ordinary landscape of job, home, and family? Herman Melville and Moby Dick warned his readers not to take even a step outside the ordinary path laid out for you by society. You might not get back again. And yet, for those willing to take the chance, the leap can bring joy, adventure, and finally for those with the courage to keep going when the wonderland becomes more fearsome than joyous, the leap can bring knowledge, peace, and liberation. Interestingly, the fool archetype appears more in mythology than in structured religion. An institutionalized church can hardly urge people beyond the limitations of institutions. Instead, the churches offer us a safe haven from the fears of life. Mythology leads directly into the heart of those fears, and every culture, the mythological landscape, contains the image of the trickster, pushing, goading, jabbing the kings and heroes whenever they turn away from the inner world of truth. So for this book, I'm going to pause right here because I can go on for, I think, 3 or 4 more pages on the topic, and that is quite a bit of time that they would take up. So if you're interested in this book, I would suggest getting 78 Degrees of Wisdom by Rachel Pollack. The third book I have to reference today is Tarot, Connect with Yourself, Develop Your Intuition, Live Mindfully by Tina Gong. And the page for The Fool starts on 42. For the upright meaning, potential, new beginnings, freedom, innocence, blank slate, and optimism. For the reverse reading, and I don't know if I have already mentioned this in this episode, I don't think I did, people sometimes will read an upside down card as a reversal. Some people don't read reversal cards. They will just read it as the upright version no matter which way. But depending on which way you like to read it, determine that before you start your reading so there is no confusion. I personally do read the upright versions and the reversed ones. So depending on which orientation the card is, I will see that as a different meaning. So now back to the Fool and for the reversal meaning, unprepared, careless, immature, reckless, hesitant, and apprehensive. For the fourth book is Understanding Tarot by Liz Dean. And The Fool starts on page 66. The Fool is innocent, poised to leap between one world and another. He risks the spiritual unknown. He appears in tarot as a beggar, a madman, a naive youth, and a jester. As the court jester often articulate subtle or difficult truths, so the tarot fool may make his entrance into a reading to remind you of the intemperance and absurdity of life. And as the jester plays off the crowd, so it has been suggested that he is sent to experience the collective journey of all the cards in the major arcana cycle. For upright meanings, beginnings, a fresh start, freedom from constraints of the past, released from a pattern of events and taking risks, provided you can enjoy the free fall. With this vital opportunity comes the need for caution, so temper your idealism with practicality. As the jester, he can also herald a beguiling character who brings innocence and fun. For reversed meaning, irresponsibility. In the reverse position, the negative traits of the fool come to the fore. Naivety turns to immaturity and irresponsibility, warning that a spontaneous decision needs a rethink. A business venture, plans for a new property, or a whirlwind relationship may dissolve due to a lack of foresight. He may also represent the literal fool who turns your world upside down. The last book I have is Llewellyn's Complete Book of Correspondence, and The Fool can be found on page 446. For Zodiac, Aquarius, Solar System, Uranus, Rune, Yira, Element, Air, Colors, Blue and Yellow, Tree, Aspen, Herb and Garden, Peppermint, Miscellaneous Plant, Ginseng. For Gemstones and Minerals, Agate, Adventurine, Topaz, Tourmaline, and Turquoise. For Issues, Intentions, and Powers, Beginnings, Cycles, Needed Discipline, Needed Guidance, and Spirituality. So that is all I have for you today on The Fool. Now on to the card of the Magician, and we will be going through these books all over again. So now we are coming back around to the book A Complete Guide to the Tarot by Eden Gray, and the Magician is found on page 20. The Magician stands before a table on which are laid a wand, a cup, a sword, and a pentacle, representing the minor arcana and meaning air, fire, water, and earth. He's about to draw power from above to materialize his desires. Over his head is the cosmic lemniscate, shaped like a figure eight on its side, a symbol of eternal life and dominion, indicating the harmonious interaction of the conscious and subconscious, idea and feeling, desire and emotion. About the Magician's waist, we see the well-known symbol of eternity, a serpent devouring its tail. About his head is a rose vine with red roses, representing desire. In front of him are more red roses intertwined with the white lilies of abstract thought. His inner garment is the white of purity, his outer robe, the red of desire, activity, and passion. The hand holding the magic wand is the ego consciousness reaching up for power, while the other hand points to earth as if the magician wills earth's forces to be subservient to him. Or it might be said that With one hand, he reaches up to take the hand of the Infinity for accomplishment in the higher realms, while he reaches down with the other to encourage the evolution of the lower kingdoms, thus uniting spirit and matter in eternity. The magician represents man's will in union with the divine, archiving the knowledge and power to bring desired things into manifestation through conscious self-awareness. Divinatory meanings: will, mastery, organizational skills, creative talents, the ability to take the power from above and direct it through desires into manifestation. For reversed, indecisive, weak-willed, ineptitude, the use of power for destructive ends. Next is 78 Degrees of Wisdom by Rachel Pollack, and the magician can be found on page 30. The magician emerges very directly from the fool in the image of a trickster wizard. As mentioned above, Merlin fulfills both these roles, and many other myths make the same connection. Earlier tarot decks pictured Trump number one as a conjurer rather than a magus, or even a juggler tossing colored balls in the air. Charles Williams described him as a juggler tossing the stars and planets. Most modern images of the Trump follow Waite's wizard raising a magic wand to bring into reality the spirit force, the energy of life, in its most creative form. He holds the wand carefully, aware of the psychic power the fool carried so lightly on his shoulder. Thus, the magician, as the beginning of the major arcana proper, represents consciousness, action, and creation. He symbolizes the idea of manifestation, that is, making something real out of possibilities in life. Therefore, we see the four emblems of the minor arcana laying on the table in front of him. He not only uses the physical world for his magical operations, but also creates the world in the sense of giving life a meaning and direction. The magician stands surrounded by flowers to remind us that the emotional and creative power we feel in our lives needs to be grounded in physical reality for us to get any value from it. Unless we make something of our potentials, they do not really exist. Next is Tarot by Tina Gong, and this starts on page 44. The magician, upright, power, skill, manifestation, concentration, creation, will, and intention. For reverse, scattered, directionless, distracted, trickster, illusion, and charlatan. The next book is Understanding Tarot by Liz Dean, and the magician can be found on page 68. The magician represents manifestation. In early tarot decks, such as the Visconti Sforza, he may be seen as a merchant or artisan, whereas later decks show him as the magician, holding up his baton or magic wand. These are two faces of the magician: the magus, the charlatan of energy to be directed into his will, and the artisan. When reversed, the magician descends into the traveling charlatan who, through sleight of hand, deceives and mystifies. In Italy, the magician was originally known as Il Bagatella, or Game of Tricks. For upright, meaning human magic, you have everything you need at your fingertips to create now whatever you choose. This is a card of communication, a call to action and self-expression. The magician's charmed influence indicates travel and creative projects, communication, and energy. This is an auspicious card for business dealings. You can have what you desire. You just need to see what lies before you and realize your resources. Start with one telephone call or email, and everything else can align as if by magic. For reversed meaning, trickery. The magician reversed warns of cheating and false appearances, dreams without foundation, and even self-delusion. A situation or individual is not what you think. For artisans and entrepreneurs, he can represent a creative block. The last book is Llewellyn's Complete Book of Correspondence, and the magician can be found on page 448. For zodiac, Gemini and Virgo, solar system, Mercury, day, Wednesday, rune, men. Colors, indigo, violet, white, and yellow. Number, 1. Herb and garden, majorum and vervain. Gemstones and minerals, agate, citrine. Fire opal, quartz, and tiger's eye. For issues, intentions, and powers, communication, control, creativity, deceit, intelligence, manifestation, power, skill, willpower, and wisdom. Okay, everybody, this is all I have for you today on tarot and the first two cards of the Major Arcana. I hope you got some decent information out of this, and if you guys are new listeners, thank you for joining the podcast family, and for those who are return listeners, welcome back, and I love you guys so much. Like I tell you guys every week, I appreciate every single one of you, and I will talk to you soon. Have a great one. Blessed be.